America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here, very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, and we've got a great program today because we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is family. The Bible has a lot to say about family. The Bible says that we are to provide for our family members, 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his family, especially for the members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And speaking about the primacy and the foundational nature of marriage, all the way back in the book of Genesis, Genesis 2:24, God says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife." That means to hold fast to one's wife and spouse, and they shall become one flesh. In my 11 years as a youth pastor and now 30 years as an apologetics speaker, working with hundreds and hundreds of churches, the thing that, I mean, I always knew it, but it's just been reinforced time and time again, is as goes the family, so goes the nation. And so as we, you know, talk about our 250th birthday, and as we serve in our churches, and I hope everyone listening is committed to Christ and committed to being a participant in Christ's Great Commission, I truly believe, I've believed this, and it is my conviction more strongly than ever, that if you want to help save America, plus contribute to the Great Commission, become a champion for family. And to talk about that with us is a colleague and friend, Sean Tice. His website, God is My Dad. And as we bring Sean to the mic, let me just say this. One of the things that I've observed in my travels, and please make this a matter of prayer, how hungry this generation of young people is, Gen Z and younger, how hungry they are for parents that parent. First of all, in the lives of so many teens that we work with, we were just in camp last week in Montana with quite a number of young people. We've got seven other summer camps this year, and we'll be in front of well over 1,000 teenagers, the majority of whom do not live with their biological parents. Most of the time, kids that we minister to today are living with a single mother or being raised by a grandparent. And everybody knows, I would think, that we have a problem of fatherlessness in our nation. But kids want parents that they can feel secure are going to be there for them. And really, I think one of Satan's masterstrokes in attacking America and really trying to undermine the church and really trying to harm countless numbers of lives, Satan for decades now has attacked the family. And so, listen, the ministry today has many facets. As you probably know, we've been very much involved for years in biblical worldview, apologetics. But I would say, folks, that our assignment for every believer is to pray for and stand for and invest in the future of the family. Well, to talk with us further about this, Sean Tice of God is My Dad, that's his website. But Sean, thanks for being with us today, and thank you for what you're doing to minister to America's families and young people. It's a blessing to have you on, Sean.
Thanks, Alex. It's great to be with you today. I'm excited to talk with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. For those that may be unaware, tell the folks a little bit about the work that you're doing. And then you've got an amazing story yourself, and we'll get there. But first of all, tell us a little bit about your ministry to families and individuals.
Yeah, our ministry, well, it started out in 2008. It's called Life Factors Ministries. Really was birthed out of writing a book for fatherless guys called The Fatherless Journey for Guys. And the book was a 30-day journey to help guys that are growing up without their dad. And then it turned into a whole ministry because we knew we needed a book for fatherless girls, and then a children's book for fatherless children, and then a book for single moms. Then we started speaking, traveling around the country. And so we've been doing this for a long time now. But then in 2017, we came out with the brand, the concept of God is My Dad. And basically what it was an initiative to encourage fatherless kids, helping them know, hey, God will be your dad through Jesus Christ. And so we started speaking about that. We created an app for individuals that you can find on the app on Google Play Store. A lot of free digital content. We have all kinds of devotionals, videos. We have different guest speakers on there, like Stephen Kendrick, John Cooper from Skillet, bunch of different people on there to encourage fatherless kids, saying, hey, you can make it. I believe in you. I care about you. We have devotionals on the YouVersion Bible app. If you search for God as My Dad or search for fatherless or single moms, you can find us on there as well. But we do a lot of digital content. We speak around the country. We also help churches establish single mom ministries and also equip churches to minister to fatherless kids.
What is the impact in the life of a middle school or high schooler, preteen or young teen? What is the impact when dad is not in their life?
When dad's not in their life, we're seeing all kinds of issues arise from that. I mean, kids are coping through a variety of different methods. I mean, they're struggling through school. A lot of times dads will teach their kids, hey, you can, I believe in you. I think you can do better, you know, or they tell them directly, do better. You're going to be in trouble. They have a discipline side of it where dads can be stern. And so kids are growing up. They're not doing good in school. They're struggling with coping through a variety of, like I said, variety of methods. We see 85% of youth in prisons are growing up in fatherless homes. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. I mean, there's so many things in our culture that is coming from this issue.
Yeah. You know, Jeff Foxworthy, the famous comedian, I watched a documentary about his life, great success story, and he, is a Christian. But Jeff Foxworthy talks about when he was a young man, I guess maybe 12 or 13, and his dad left for whatever reason. And it was very poignant how Jeff Foxworthy phrased it. And he said this question has nagged him his whole life. He wanted to ask his dad, why wasn't I worth sticking around for? And I think that's very poignant because there is this sense of abandonment. Sean, since you and I were on a show last week, I've been on the road preaching, and even last night, we had a great, great event in Western North Carolina. Many people came to Christ, but I remember one of the youth pastors and I were praying with a teenage girl, abandoned, being raised by her grandmother, a wonderful young person, opened her heart to Christ and became a believer last night, but yet her biggest struggle was the fragmented, non-existent nature of her family. And coming to Christ is vital. It's wonderful when people come to Jesus. But children and youth, they want a home. They want a mom and a dad, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they crave it. I mean, even if that parent is not a good person, or both of them aren't good people, they crave having that relationship with their mom or dad. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. But I still had this inner feeling that I wanted that relationship with him. I lived across the country from him. He left when I was about 10 months old and moved from our hometown of Pennsylvania back to Las Vegas. Never came back, but you just have this inner feeling that I wish I could know this person. And you can't really explain what that is, but it's, you just desire that. And then also the feeling of rejection whenever those people that you feel that way about do not want to have a relationship with you. It's like my dad didn't want anything to do with me. He wanted to live his lifestyle and do the things that he was passionate about, which were his addictions. And so he wasn't interested. And so that left a hole as well, because it's like, well, am I not good enough? And so this the little girl you're dealing with last night, you know, my heart breaks for her because there's so many kids that are going through that, and they go through life feeling rejected, and then they look for, like I said, hope for through coping methods, and ends up being a lot of times a life of destruction. And so, mm-hmm. Thankfully, she's trusted in Christ, and hopefully she'll continue down that path of understanding that God will be her father, and God loves her, and God cares about her.
Yes, amen. And one of the messages, folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here along with Sean Tice, we're talking about the family. And I want to talk about how churches can step in and love on people. Because, hey, let me tell you, abandonment issues, feelings of alienation and loneliness, and longing for that relationship with dad or mom that may never be recoverable. I mean, those things linger into 30s, 40s, 50s, and adulthood. And so I want to talk about how churches can step in and share the love of Jesus, because ultimately the greatest love of a father is that of our Heavenly Father. And we're going to take some calls as well. But listen, the beautiful opportunity here, folks, it doesn't take lots of resources or money. It does take time, takes empathy and care. But Sean, I really think for Christians today, what we have here, as you know, challenging as it might seem, what we have is a great ministry opportunity, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I mean, and I think what's happened is the devil has made it complicated. We look at it like, oh, you have to set up some huge program, and we can't get started until that's set up. And instead of looking at it like that, which programs aren't bad. I mean, I have programs that I push as well. But look across your neighborhood, look across your church, and see, okay, what kid's there, and who can benefit from the resources that I have, from the hobbies that I'm into, from the skills that God's given to me, and how can I help that kid? Maybe there's a kid growing up fatherless that's in your church, or maybe a grandparent's raising their grandkids and they need some help and encouragement, and you can come alongside them and support them, or maybe a single mom that you can mentor, or, you know, it doesn't have to be just the kids that you're mentoring, maybe mentoring a single mom to help her get on a path of success. But just doing that, looking across the room, see who's in your family. Maybe there's a cousin or a relative that you could start taking interest in and share the love of Christ with them. But it does not have to be, like I said, a program, and then going after them through that, getting them involved in your local church, and then maybe it could turn into a program. Maybe there are so many kids that you need to do that, where you need to launch a full-fledged ministry. But finding, okay, who's around me? Who's God's placed in my circle of influence? And maybe it's a niece or a nephew, like I said. Maybe it's that grandma raising their grandkids down the neighborhood, or maybe it's a single mom you work with. Start investing in their life, and the difference you can make is incredible.
How did America become a nation of the pervasive fatherlessness? And I know, listen, hey, props to the dads that are there. And I know there are a lot of men that are standing strong and being godly men. I'm very encouraged, Sean. I think there's God is raising up this wave of men of God that are or aspire to be godly men, faithful husbands, champion fathers, and that's encouraging. But the fatherlessness that we do see around us, I know we've got a break coming, but how did we get here, Sean?
I mean, it's just been a domino effect, whereas you just see it's an ever-growing occurrence where fatherless individuals make their kids fatherless, make their kids fatherless, and so it's about helping them break the cycle. And so somebody grows up fatherless, they're like, hey, I don't know how to be a dad. My dad left too, so why would I stay with my wife? Or why would I marry that woman that I have a baby with? And I'm just going to go down the path that my dad did. And so you see this regular occurrence that goes on in their life, and somebody has to come alongside and say, hey, no, that's not the way to do it. I need to break the cycle. And so if we could break the cycle, things would change. But this has been an ever-growing thing since, I think, like the 1960s, where families are just starting to fall apart. The decline has happened. The reliance on welfare system and not needing a man in the home to to take care of, you know, raising the support like it was back in the 60s, back in the 50s, where we had these families, the nucleus family that was, you know, they're sitting around the table at supper, they're spending time together, the dad is providing, the mom's staying home, taking care of the home. And I'm not saying it's wrong for a woman to go out and work. I'm not against that at all. I'm just saying that things have changed since back then. And we've seen this decline in the family where the family has completely changed. And then we're seeing kids that are growing up without their dad and parents that are apathetic, that don't care about their kids. And
hey,
they just go down
thought.
This path.
Forgive me. We've got a break. Alex McFarland here talking about Sean Tice and what the church can do to love people and address the family breakdown. And let's turn this thing around with God's help and for God's glory. Stay tuned. Real Truth for Today is back after this brief break.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Alex McFarland here sitting in for Jeff Shreve. Very honored to do so. And we're going to get back to our conversation with Sean Tice about the state of the family. But if you recognize my voice or my name, it's probably because of a show called Exploring the Word. And Bert Harper and I do that show Monday through Friday live. It's a live Bible teaching show on the American Family Radio Network. We've done it for about 16 years. To God be the glory. And so we invite you to tune in the afternoons for Exploring the Word. It's a live Bible teaching show, and we're in Ephesians right now, and then we take calls and Bible questions. And I am also on the road speaking. We're doing one of our Revive U.S. events in Western North Carolina. And my website, incidentally, is alexmcfarland.com. We've got camps, conferences, and if you are interested in a Revive U.S. event, go to my website, alexmcfarland.com. You know, I started out many years ago doing apologetics. I was a youth pastor. I wanted to make sure that my teenagers could defend their Christian faith when they went away to the university. And so we would, in addition to my own teaching and writing, we booked a lot of speakers like Lee Strobel and Frank Turek and Josh McDowell and people like that. And now, 51 citywide conferences later, we're still at it. And we are working and praying and proclaiming for revival in America. And the restoration of the family is a big part of that. By the way, we are going to take calls in the third segment. If you want to call in and ask a question about family or how to minister to families, how your church or you can be a part of restoring the American family, the number is going to be 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we'll open up the phones. But our guest is Sean Tice, just a valued colleague and friend. One of his websites, the one that I refer people to most often, is called God Is My Dad. Sean, is it .com?
Yes, godismydad.com. Yep.
Yeah, great website. And, you know, before the break, we were talking about, you know, the void, the empty space left when family and one or both parents are absent. I think about this very tender verse. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, "When father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take up my cause." When father and mother forsake me, God will be there for us. But very often, God comes into somebody's life through the ministry of another believer. And you and I, we can be that believer that brings the love of Jesus to hurting people, can't we?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, God wants to father these kids. He wants to be in their life. Psalm 68:5 says, it's one of my favorite verses, a father of the fatherless and a judge of widows is God in his holy habitation, or a protector of widows is God, yes, in his holy habitation. And James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I love that verse because it tells us it's a pure religious practice for all of us, not just pastors, not just the leaders in the church, but for every single one of us to practice pure religion. It's a pure religious practice for us to visit, it says in that verse, to visit them. And so we all have an opportunity, everybody listening to this has an opportunity to visit the fatherless or motherless or kids that don't have a dad or a mom in your circle of influence, to visit them. And God tells us that it's something that it's great for all of us to do. It's pure religion. We don't do it for the wrong reason. It's not undefiled, but we do it in front of God and the Father, that verse tells us, to visit them. And then also to visit single moms and to help and encourage them, to help take care of them. And it's a regular occurrence. And it's something we can all be involved in. And then again, once we lead them to the Father, lead them to God as our Father, then He can father them. And the Bible tells us that He wants to provide relief to them. It says in Psalm 146:9, the Lord preserveth the strangers, He relieveth the fatherless. But how are they going to find relief? How are they going to find hope if we as Christians don't lead them to Him?
Is crime a father problem?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, in many circles, not everywhere. I mean, there's some people who are just rebellious and they want to cause trouble. But, you know, like I said earlier, 85% of youth in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. Issues such as rape, 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions have no father. There's so many things. Even with arson, 90% of adolescents, repeat arsonists, live with only their mother. There's so many different things coming from this issue, you know, with fatherlessness. You know, there's a study that statistics has been used so many times, but from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said that fatherless children are at a dramatically greater risk of drug and alcohol abuse, mental illness. Oftentimes we ignore that issue, suicide, poor education performance, teen pregnancy, and criminality. And mm-hmm. So it's affecting so many different areas, crime, so many things.
You know, Sean, NPR, National Public Radio, which is not a paragon of conservative content, but they have done a series on the relationship between the state of the family and how well a child does in school, especially in high school and graduation rates, that the state of the home is the predictor of how well someone does or doesn't do in high school. I mean, when NPR is preaching about the need to restore the family, this is real.
Oh, yeah, it's being covered on both sides. There's a study that was done. It says in studies involving over 25,000 children using national representative data sets, children who lived with only one parent had lower grade point averages, lower college aspirations, poor attendance records, and higher dropout rates than students who live with both parents. And sometimes people think, like, hey, maybe this is just a certain side of the train tracks or a certain economic background, a certain race. There was one study that was done that said a white teenage girl from an advantaged background is five times more likely to become a teen mother if she grows up in a single mother household than if she grows up in a household with both biological parents. And as I'm touching on this, people are maybe wondering, well, what's teen pregnancy have to do with fatherlessness? Because girls, they lack security when the dad's not there. Dads provide security, yeah, to their life. They're their daddy's little girl. He's their little princess. He loves them. He cherishes them. 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes. When I heard that statistic years ago, that kind of threw me. I couldn't believe that number was so large. But 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes.
You know, yesterday we were ministering. God moved in a great way. Got to speak in a Sunday morning service, got to do an afternoon session with teenagers, had a great night last night. And one of the teenagers that we were able to minister with, being raised by a grandparent, and this young person came to Christ. It was wonderful. God is so good. But this teenager was just weeping and said, please pray for my mother. She's in jail for the third time on drug charges, and I won't get to see her for like 6 weeks or something, but my mother doesn't know the Lord and is addicted to, I don't know, but some kind of drug. And, all right, check this out. A 15-year-old weeping, praying, pleading to God, please help my mom get off drugs. And Sean, you know, 25 years ago, I mean, you know, when I was a youth pastor, the parents were saying, please pray that my child will get off drugs. Now, this year, I bet I've prayed with a dozen teenagers around the country crying out to God, please help my parents get off drugs. I mean, it's like inverted. And I mean, you know, God is good. The cycle can break. The good news is it can be a new day. And let me just say, if you're listening and you come from a dysfunctional family background, for in whatever way, you know, divorce, abuse, addictions, listen, it can be a brand new day beginning now with Jesus Christ. And that is wonderful news. But it is rather unusual, isn't it, when we've got kids building their life on Jesus, and it's not prodigal children that we're crying out for, it's kids praying for their prodigal parents. But in any and every context, Jesus Christ is the answer. Sean, it's just an unusual time, but I really believe that. You know, let me just say this. People, they said, oh, the professors at the universities are atheists and hyper-secularists, and there's, you know, the rise of Islam, and all those things are serious concerns, of course. But I am convinced, save the family and we'll save the nation. That really is where my heart has landed.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I mean, I shared on your other program that kids that are growing up without a mom or a dad, it's like a scale. You know, if you look at a scale and they're in imbalance, when they do have a mom and dad, their life's in balance. And so they have a mom and dad on the scale, their life's doing good. But when you take one of them away or both, their life goes off balance. And these kids were wondering, why are they going out committing crime? Why are they struggling with all these different things? Because the mom and dad's gone. And that's why, you know, they're craving for that mom to get off drugs, to get her life straight. They want their home to be back to normal. They want their dad to not be incarcerated. They want their dad to return to their home after abandoning them, or their mom abandoning them. They want to have that family back together. And sadly, it doesn't happen. I mean, it's dating back to the 1960s, like I said earlier. I remember movies coming out when I was a kid. I remember Angels in the Outfield. There's an old Disney movie, Angels in the Outfield. And the kid is laying in a foster care home where his mom's, I think passed away. They didn't really say, I don't think. But then the dad's, he can't take care of him. Dad rides off on a motorcycle and tells him if the Angels win the pennant, he'll come back and get him. And he found out it wasn't true. But the kid craved to have his family back together. And so in the movie, you know, it's a fun movie. It's an interesting movie, but it really just displays what's happening in our culture. These kids are just, I want to have my mom and dad back. But then they realize eventually in life, well, this isn't ever going to happen. And they're kind of broken. That's why we call them broken homes. I know a lot of people don't like that term. I know that term's not used as much anymore, but it's really what it is. And these kids are broken because their home's broken, and they go through life struggling with it, and they crave for that mom to get off drugs or that dad to get out of prison. And a lot of times it doesn't happen, but through God, there's hope. Through God, they can have encouragement and they can overcome the situation. And like I said earlier, be a cycle breaker and make a difference in their future and decide, you know what, I'm going to not let this be part of my life going forward. I'm going to change and make a difference in my own family someday.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm going to give you the number. We have a break in about 3 minutes. And then when we come back, if you have a question for Sean or for myself about family, how to minister to a certain situation, or how you and your church can minister to families. And let me tell you, folks, there's just nothing in the world as meaningful and fulfilling as when you see someone who was hurting, someone who was directionless, someone who was broken, find their solid rock to be Jesus Christ. And God can use you in that way. If you've got a question about family ministry, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we'll take questions after this brief break. But Sean, I wanted to ask you this about how our experience with an earthly father to a large degree informs our assumptions about the heavenly father. There is a correlation, isn't there?
Oh, there really is. You know, we look at God like we look at earthly dad. And so for me personally, my dad abandoned me. And so for much of my life, I struggled with thinking that God was going to abandon me, and not in the sense that I was going to lose my salvation. I mean, I did struggle with that for a while. I had to make assurance of my salvation. But it more of a, I got to please God, and I have to operate in this, not this relationship with the Lord, but this pleasing situation where I have to perform and do all these things. And so I struggle with that. But yeah, we do look at God like God hates me, or God doesn't care about me. And we need to get that out of our head, because God is not our dad. God is not, in the sense, he's not our physical dad. He does not like our earthly dad that's on this earth. God is completely different from that. God is a loving father that cares about anyone that wants a relationship with him. And so changing that mindset. But yes, we do struggle with that as humans, thinking that God is just like our dad, because it's that leadership factor, looking at it like, oh, okay, well, if the person that was responsible for my life on this earth and my mind, then God that created the universe must be exactly the same way, and getting that out of our heads and realizing that the God that created the universe cares about you, which is hard to grasp, but God does.
Is it almost difficult for people to get their heart open to unconditional love? So it's almost like they can't give themselves permission to believe that God truly does love them unconditionally.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely. I think some people struggle with that. It just depends on their worldview, though. I think it depends on their situation, how they look at love, how they look at, and even with their dad, how were they raised? Did their dad reject them? Did he pass away? Did they have a nurturing mom along with the dad? It just depends on, I think, the view of love in that, and then they can maybe grasp it a little easier. For me, it was like, hey, somebody loves me. What I mean? So
amen.
I want to embrace that, because somebody does love me. And so, okay, God loves me. Cool. Let's go after this. But some people, their view of love is distorted, because maybe they were abused by somebody that loved them, or they were abandoned by somebody that really had a relationship, and that person walked away later in life. Maybe that dad was great for the first 10 years, and then he walked away, or became an addict or something like that. And so it just depends on the situation. I really think this world, their worldview, and how they develop that.
Our family background, our family status, this is common to every human being, because we're all part of a family, and we have an opportunity to become a part of God's family, and then to be ministers to those around us. Well, Alex McFarland here, along with our guest Sean Tice. Stay tuned. Your calls about family, 888-589-8840. More after this brief break. We'll come back with Real Truth for Today.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Alex McFarland, very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, and very honored to be talking with our guest, Sean Tice. We've got calls, and we're going to get straight to it in just a second. But Sean, what you doing for Father's Day? Father's Day is coming up June 21st, just a couple of weeks away. And I know your ministry, Father's Day is big in your ministry. What's up for this year?
Yeah, for Father's Day, we have all kinds of resources to encourage people. I know for most kids, Father's Day is a very hard day. It's just a reminder of what they don't have. So it's just it's a challenging day. So it's an opportunity for ministry, for churches, for Christians to get involved. And so on our website, godismydad.com, look at the Father's Day page. You can find a guide on how to minister to the fatherless around Father's Day. We also have a guide. You can do a God is My Dad Father's Day party. And so we encourage fatherless kids through that. Our church is hosting one this coming Thursday. We're going to it's called Slinky Action Zone. We're going to this place where you can play video games and hang out. And so just encouraging kids, hey, God cares about you. But we're going to play some video games and hang out together. I know this coming Father's Day is coming up, but we want to encourage you through that. We're going to give the kids a little gift and help them understand that God loves them. But just, I want to encourage churches to get involved, do something around Father's Day, acknowledge the kids that are hurting that day. It's a, like I said, a great ministry opportunity. It's a great opportunity for you to share the love of Christ with them, help them realize that, you know, maybe I don't have a dad, but I can have a dad through Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God can have God in my life and he can help me on my journey. So we also have on the YouVersion Bible app, we have a free devotional called Fatherless on Father's Day. And it's a 3-day devotional to encourage fatherless kids, fatherless adults. We've had all kinds of different ages use it. We've had thousands of people check out this app or this devotional, and they've completed it, and it's helped them on their journey as they go through Father's Day. But it's a 3-day journey. YouVersion Bible app, search for Fatherless on Father's Day. We have, like I said, free guides to help people minister to the fatherless. But don't go on this journey alone as a church or as a ministry. We can help you with it. Also, if you're fatherless, check out that free devotional. It'll help you as you go through this tough day.
God bless you. God bless you. Well, we're going to go to calls. We're going to start in North Carolina. Richard in North Carolina, thanks for holding. And welcome to our conversation with Sean Tice.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Farland. Thank you for filling in. It's a very poignant message that you're bringing across.
God bless you.
The beginning of your program, you had made note about being responsible for your family. Now, this is tough to talk about, but back in 1982, I was with somebody, got her pregnant, and her anger towards me, she didn't want me to have anything to do with her after that, and she bore a child, a young man, and she married a man to help support the child. And but that being said, I met him one time in a courthouse and he looked like he's about 12 or 13 years old. And I've never seen him again. And it eats at me every day. And I'm just so burdened that I never had influence in his life. And I know what to do, but I just don't do it out of fear of rejection. So I just wanted to share that with you and some insight you might give to me.
God bless you, Richard. God bless you. Do you know, first of all, I hear the emotion and the pain in your heart. Jesus Christ loves you, and he does forgive our past if we ask him. And if you've never put your faith in Christ, I would encourage you to do that today. One of the verses that I really lean on, and to everybody listening, Joel 2, verse 25 says, God restores the years the locust has eaten. I want to pray, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, that you could perhaps reach out and begin to build that relationship. Richard, God can raise the dead, and he can also resurrect broken relationships. And God lead you, God be with you, and please believe that a relationship with this estranged child is possible. I do believe that. But Sean, do you have any counsel for Richard?
Yeah, Richard, I appreciate your heart. I can hear through your message that you have a desire to have a relationship. And for me, that's an encouraging thing. I had a dad that didn't care about me at all. So just to hear that you have a heart to have a relationship with this young man, I commend you for that. But I want to also encourage you to not be afraid to maybe go after a relationship with him and see what happens. I mean, what's it going to hurt? You know, yeah. And I understand fear of rejection, but why not just go after it? There's a movie that the Kendrick Brothers, I was part of the team with the Kendrick Brothers, they made for Show Me the Father. And it's a great movie. I encourage you to watch that. And maybe it'll inspire you with this situation. But basically, it's about a story. There's a bunch of stories in there. But it's about this father-son relationship where this guy didn't, it was his coach, didn't realize it was his dad. They end up getting united through it. It's a great story. But check that movie out. It might inspire you through this. But I want to encourage you to just try to go after your relationship with your son. That's what I tell people. Even if you've messed up, God's a forgiving God. God's a redeeming yes. God, and God can redeem this situation. Like Alex said, the first step is to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Realize you're a sinner. Realize your sin's going to lead you to hell. Believe that Jesus died on the cross, paid the penalty for you, and trust in Jesus as your Savior. He's the only way to heaven when we die. The only hope we have on this earth is through Jesus. And so make that decision, but then go forward with that power. Call upon Jesus to save you, but then go forward through Jesus and say, you know what? I'm going to try to have a relationship with my kid and see Amen. What happens. And if you get rejected, Amen. If you get rejected, God will help you through that. God will give you the strength to overcome that as well.
He will. Amen. Richard, blessings. Godspeed, my friend. Let's go to Texas. Jerry in Texas, thanks for holding and welcome to the program.
Good morning. This is so meaningful, focusing on the family and what's missing today in the family. A godly man and a godly woman, a godly wife and a godly husband, godly child, godly children. So many people today go to church to be fed. Adults, they go to church to be fed. They need to feed themselves in the home. And what came to heart, I saw a picture of a mother robin feeding the chicks. And I say, you know, people go to church to be fed. Well, the word says, come to me, all ye who are heavy burdened, and focus on Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We need a godly man and a godly woman in the home. And I volunteered to help kids who were in Mountain Home, were sent to a place. Instead of going to jail, they were sent to this place like a boot camp. And I went and sat with those kids, and I wrote there. I said, what's your name? And they gave me their names. And they said, what do you want my name for? So I can pray for you. And I got to love these kids. A dad was missing in the home. He might have been there physically or not there physically, but dad was missing. God's plan is for a godly man, and from godly man comes godly woman as we give our life to the Lord in the sanctity Amen. Of marriage. That needs Amen. To be emphasized today from the pulpit.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry, thank you so much. In the interest of time, I had to pop in here. You're right on the money, brother, right on the money. Let's go back to North Carolina. Larry in North Carolina, welcome to the program. Our topic is family. What you got?
Thank you, Alex and Sean. Very timely for our family, and I'm going to start out by asking for a prayer for our family. We're going to court today, to family court, so-called family court, in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, right here in your territory, Alex.
Yeah.
I have written to you before, and I've written to several of the folks who speak and have programs on AFR. But my four-month-old granddaughter was medically kidnapped in 2022. She was born medically fragile, and CPS accused the family, accused my son, of abusing his child. Well, all those charges have been dropped. And both parents found out since then that they have hypermobility Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which means there's a 75 to 100% chance that all their children will have that. And it's a connective tissue disorder. And yet, even though the charges were dropped and there's medical issues, the family court still went on to release this child. She's with the guardian. Mm-hmm. And so we're praying today as we go to court that this judge will grant my son, who wants to be a father to his daughter. They've had two children since then. No issues with those children, but we're pretty sure they have EDS as well. But pray that this judge will allow my son to have some unsupervised time with his daughter. The mom gets unsupervised time, and they're both married. They're happily married. Mm-hmm. They go to church.
Wow.
But
wow.
Pray that this judge will allow this father, who wants to be with his daughter, time to go to church in an unsupervised situation. That's my
God bless
prayer.
You, Larry. Our prayers are with you, and may God help you and your family and your son as you navigate those things. Godspeed. Let's go to South Carolina. Linda in South Carolina, thanks for holding. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this timely topic. I taught public high school for many years, so I saw fathers absent, fathers present. I currently volunteer with a teen ministry, Christian ministry, and I mostly see absent fathers. But what advice would you give to a father who may be listening to this program or to me to share with some of the young men that I work with in this youth ministry of how to be examples of a good father, a good husband? What advice for me to share with them, maybe?
Great question. Sean, what do you say?
How to be an how for you to be an example, or for how to, for them to find hope in their situation?
For me to share with them how they can be good examples, because obviously I can't be a father example, mm-hmm. but there are so many of these teenagers that I work with, some of them don't even know who their father is, and you know, it's hard to, they don't have examples, they don't have a role model. So, and of course, we use God's word every week, but sometimes we just need a worldly type of examples for them and bring it back to God's word and tie it all together.
Yeah, well, obviously the first place is you want to bring in some obviously strong volunteers, Christian volunteers to be involved. If there are, you know, some solid men that could be around these kids to influence them. But if you don't have that, we have free resources. We have a God Is My Dad app you can download from the app or Google Play Store. And the reason why I say this, there's all kinds of videos you can watch with them that are free, and then you can talk to them about those issues. We talk about work ethic. We talk about how to be a respectable person, all kinds of stuff. And so you can play that video, and then you can talk to them about that topic. And so, you know, obviously I'm all for the Bible. I'm a pastor preaching the word, but we also have to have practical things that we can tie that in. So we have videos that have tie the word of God in, but they're practical things that you can implement into that. We also have the Fatherless Journey for Guys book and the Fatherless Journey for Girls book. They're on Amazon. Those are books you can walk through with them. They're a 30-day journey book, and it covers a variety of different things, and it teaches them things that the dads would normally teach their kids. And so those are ways that you can incorporate that as well. If you don't have any male influences or a lot of male influences there, or even if you do, having tools for them to walk through with the kids, because a lot of times guys who work with kids, sometimes they don't know what to say. I've had a lot of male volunteers where they kind of stand by the side. They don't know how to start a conversation with the kids. So these are great conversation starters as well. But yeah, there's ways, definitely ways to do that.
God bless you, Linda, for being involved in a teen ministry. Let's go to Sally in Mississippi. Sally, welcome to our conversation with Sean Tice.
Oh, thank you so very much and for what you're doing. Just a few comments. I had the privilege of working in the school system with children and their families, and I saw the power of the family system. We have so much to gain, even for small improvements in helping these parents. And then I'd like to share that in some of my training and counseling, we went to hear a man speak that had worked extensively with juvenile delinquents, and it was just getting me so, I was like, oh, it's terrible. And I said, what hope is there as they, you know, progressing on this journey that they're going to go to prison? And he said, if one individual, an uncle, a mentor, anybody will speak into this young person's life and, you know, come and see them be a mentor, the chances of them being able to turn around is great. But without it, it's slim and none.
Mm. Wow. Sean, do you have a comment?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm sitting and talking with you right now because of the people that came into my life and
poured
into my life. And that's why I'm here. So there's, when you bring somebody into somebody's life, it helps their success rate and it can encourage them. But then also when that person's a Christian and provides Christ, it takes it way beyond. So, yeah, definitely. I completely agree with what you're saying.
Amen. For those on hold, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Sean Tice, my guest, thank you very much. And just remember, folks, when you invest some time, T-I-M-E, the spiritual return is exponential. We're all an amalgam of the people that prayed for us and invested in us. And we can do the same. Hey, it's been poured into us. Now let's pass it on. Let's pay it forward. Remember, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Please stay tuned to the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.